Life is lived, I always say, not by a man's wish. It's not how you like at the point in time or the things that you consciously do in life that determine how life responds to you. No. Actually, life responds according to things that are really in your subconscious. Even psychologists found out long ago that a man has a subconscious mind and that controls a lot of his activities. But we, knowing from the word of God, what God says, the scriptures, we know that there is something beyond what you call the subconscious mind. There is a spiritual, let me use the word, mind. There's what Paul called the spirit of your mind. The reason is that, you know, there are things that are settled in the depths of your being. That's what really controls your life. That's what really controls the things that come to you in life. Those are the things that really control the events around you. And listen, God, what he does is when he's working in the life of his child, he tries to bring to light the things that are hidden beneath in your soul and in your spirit so that you can confess the things from your mouth. There are two things that your confessions do for you. Number one, there are two kinds of confessions. There are confessions that affirm your situation, affirm your position, and affirm the place where you are in at that point in time. Meanwhile, there are also confessions that release you from where you used to be. Do you understand my point? You know, I remember once when I was in school, I made a statement. I told one brother, I said, man, I'm very lazy. I am such a lazy person. Now, he corrected me immediately that you are confessing negatively. No, much later, I realized that no, what I was doing was right. Actually, I was trying to come out of laziness into hard work. And the first thing that God said you should do is to confess your sins. Do you understand my point? There is a confession that you are affirming and wishing to remain where you are. And there is one in which you are using it to release yourself from where you used to be. Do you get my point? You know, that's one thing you see people a lot of time. They make excuses. You know, there's one expression that I never heard anybody say it before. I can say I coined it. What I call excuses for Satan. You understand my point? Now, you see people tell you things like, this is where I am. And when they are saying it, they start making excuses for that. That is, it is because my father used to treat us like this. That is why I am like this. And he's saying it that is, look, better accept me the way I am. Do you understand my point? Now, that is very erroneous because, you see, like you've heard me say before, in life, there are stages in life. From Ecclesiastes, we read that there is a stage of childhood and there is a stage of young manhood. So Solomon was explaining that a man will be judged in later years for what he did in those stages. I don't have time to break down those things again into details. But no, from at least if you study from the scriptures very well, you will know, referring to the encounter at Kadesh Barnea, when God passed the judgment upon the nation of Israel. Remember, he passed the judgment upon those who were 20 years and older. Anybody below the age of 20 was forgiven. Let me use the word, his sin was overlooked. And let me tell you something about God. God is not just merciful. He actually works according to the principles of justice. And the principles of justice in God includes mercy. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. There are times you see somebody appear to break a rule. But God is saying that he still qualifies for mercy. God's mercies are not random. It's not as if he just closes his eyes and says, mercy, anybody catch it, you know? He's not throwing a bouquet after a wedding. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's not a spontaneous thing. The Bible says, for example, that the mercies of God are bound everlastingly upon them that fear him. You get what I'm trying to say? That is, a man who fears God can count upon God's mercy. Do you get my point? But a man who doesn't cannot count on God's mercy. I'm bringing out the point here. So sometimes when you see God apparently show mercy to people who were below the age of 20, or when Jesus came to the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery and said to her, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. Listen, Jesus was not trying to undermine the laws of Moses. He was operating in a realm that was higher in understanding than what the people there generally had. He looked at that woman and said, you see, you are a reflection of your society. You are a reflection of what everybody around you has been doing. Therefore, they do not have the right to pass judgment upon you. You understand that point? That was why he told them, anyone amongst you men that have never been engaged in unlawful sexual activity, throw the first stone. He was not saying if you have never lied or cheated. He was saying any one of you that adultery cannot be named near his house, throw the first stone. He said, if all of you judges in Israel are adulterers, then how do you judge the women with whom you commit the adultery? You understand what I'm trying to say here? I think it was in Haggai or Hosea. He was explaining the principle to them. He said, you see, your daughters have become harlots and your sons are whoremongers. He said, but I will not judge them. Why? Because their fathers, their mothers, they themselves spiritually are committing adultery in that they have joined themselves to other gods. Therefore, judgment cannot come upon the sons directly. Now, I'm bringing out the point here that you see that at that time, what God was saying is that those are the days of childhood in which you are pure. A reflection of your society. You yourself, you don't have any character in God's presence. You don't. That you're just a reflection of your society. I'm just bringing a point out here that when God is bringing mercy sometimes, we don't understand that he's operating upon a level of understanding that we have not yet tapped into. You are getting my point? You see, so what God is saying is that in different stages in life, like in the days of childhood, the children are exposed to, let me use the word, a lot of mercy, because God understands that it's a matter of forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Listen to me, that prayer of Jesus Christ will not work for anybody who knew what he was doing. Do you get my point? Those who were in darkness and saw the light and recognized the light and rejected the light, no. That prayer was not for them. It was purely for those who were just shouting, hey, kill him, yes, kill him. They don't know what's going on. They just shouted, kill him. God said, please, those people, forgive them. They don't understand what they are doing. However, God says that there's a season in life when a man begins to generate spiritual forces. Listen to this. There's a season in which the things are beginning to occur. Before that, the forces around him were generated by other people around him, his parents, his society. But now he begins to step into a place where he now has spiritual energy. He calls it the days of young manhood. You understand my point? Then he has understanding. He knows, I mean, God maybe was brought up in a house where they lived as if they were in a monastery. God said, no problem, I will send you to campus. You go and see people who party from morning till night. You understand my point? You see those who were brought up in homes where the moral laws were very loose. God said, no problem, I will send you to secondary school, I will send you to boarding house, where you will find a Christian teacher who will force you to go to fellowship. I'm not forcing you to be a Christian, I'm giving you another exposure. Are you getting my point? Then a point will now come in which you will now have to decide. How do I want to live? I remember a story Derek Prince told about a man who raised up his children very strictly in Christian order. You understand? Then one day his daughter, grown up now, looked at the man and said, Daddy, you have been a fantastic man. You have been a good daddy. I wouldn't exchange you for any other person in the world. To thank the father very well. He said, but I think I've missed out a lot in life. I want to just explain to you that I wish to go my own way. And, you know, she just explained she wanted to live life like all her friends. So I think the father, I don't know what the father did exactly, but maybe persuaded her to just wait a while or something. But anyway, the girl slept and dreamt. And then saw two roads. One shining, you know, very, very beautiful road. And then God allowed her to see the end of the road and saw that it only led to destruction. And saw the other road that wasn't so beautiful. Then she saw the end of it, a beautiful city. Then she realized what God was saying in effect. What your parents have passed you through is going to get you to somewhere better than you have ever imagined. But this one you want to step into with your own feet, just watch out, you are going to die. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm explaining a point here that it's in those seasons when you begin to make your own choices that life begins, let me put it like this, you begin to send or generate your own spiritual energy into life. Do you get my point? And those things that you are generating, they are there under, you know, you can't really see them, but they are the ones that make a man lucky or make another unlucky. You understand? Remember, if you've been following our radio broadcast, we have discussed that extensively. That what we call luck is simply a colloquial expression for the manifestation of the blessing of God. If God blesses a man, he's a lucky man. Do you understand my point? Remember my story about Mary Kay Ash. It's so beautiful that her book, Miracles Happen. She said, she made an investment and forgot about it. She forgot about it. And then one day she went to church, having agreed to make an appeal for funds for the pastor of the church for their children's church program building. And then that morning, you know, she had weeks to prepare, but she kept on forgetting. And that morning, as she was rushing, she woke up late because she went out with her husband the previous night, so they overslept. And as a woman, of course, she needs time to make up. And you know, by the way, guys, you can never cure a woman from getting ready late. I don't think it's possible. And ladies, a man will never stop getting angry. Don't even pray about it. Don't even pray about it. Yeah, that's not my point. So, better to start getting ready early. And don't tell him, why are you getting angry? There is a reason why he's getting angry. Anyway, so while she was putting up her makeup and all that, she just heard a voice in her heart. He said, if people say they hear God, he said, but for her, this is the closest it has ever been to what you can say God spoke to me. You understand? But a thought dropped in her heart, said, offer to double whatever be the amount they put down. That is, in her own words, offer to match every dollar that comes. Get my point? She assumed that if it's a good day, they will raise about $2,000. Because she now added one proviso to it. In her case, she doesn't deal on credit. It's cash. If you're giving money, don't make a pledge. Give me the money. You understand my point? Give me a check now. You know, there's no like make a pledge. I want the money now. So after talking plenty that day, the pastor just asked her that, you know, people came from church, from home to church. They didn't prepare to give this money. Why don't we give them 24 hours? So he said, okay, 24 hours. Any money you want to give, we want in 24 hours. By tomorrow morning, the money is in church. They said, fine. So he expected them to call her that this is the amount of money you are supposed to match. Well, they didn't call her on time. She was wondering, okay, the money must be big, $10,000. They finally called her and offered to release her from her pledge. And she said, no, I made the pledge. I'm going to stick by it. How much? $106,000. Before, on good days, they raised $1,000. Even she was weak. The deacon who called reminded her that we said you don't have to pay. He said, no, I said I will pay. I was like, where do I get that kind of money from? And I have to pay today. I told them 24 hours. 24 hours is up. She was still sitting down there when the phone rang again. Remember that investment I mentioned a few minutes ago? Her son said, mommy, why is it that everything you put your hands to turns to gold? That she had become a lucky woman. The boy noticed it. That is my mother. Anything she tries to do turns to gold. That is, that woman will pick mud. It will make money. Why is it that anything you do turns to gold? She was still sitting on that same seat. Less than an hour passed. She was calculating how she will get that money. I'm bringing out a point here. And the boy now told her that, remember, that investment, she said yes. He said, started yielding. Your share in the first month is over $100,000. Do you get my point? That it was not a matter, listen to me, she wasn't trying to make money. Like I tell people who preach that give so you can get. Listen, I'm not saying don't give and don't get. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that those who really get from giving did not give to get. This woman, I just told the story, she just was doing the pastor a favor. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And then look at what happened. She said, get my point, that was paid up in the first 1 month. And that investment was going to be yielding monthly. Don't forget. She invested in some oil fields. Now, bring out the point. She was a lucky woman. She wasn't struggling. She was lucky. How did she get to hear about that investment? You get what I mean by lucky? That is, the blessing of God has started moving in her direction. Now, I'm bringing out the point here. There are spiritual forces that were inside her. That were generated. Let me just say this again. People need to understand it. I'm sorry. I may appear not to agree with the generality of messages that come out in the body of Christ. But I cannot just say it enough, because all we need to do is let us stop giving our own testimonies of 5,000 naira and 10,000 naira. Let us look at men who made billions of naira and billions of dollars. Ask how many of them use these our principles. Do you get my point? You know, when you sit in a small circle and you are fooling yourselves, a man came to preach in a place once where I was, and he was saying that, look at your life, you don't give, you don't give. That's why you don't have anything. Look at me now. Last week, I gave out my car. This week, I've gotten another one. Look at it. I gave out this. Now, next week, I'm getting the furniture. I'm just looking at him and feeling sorry for the hungry soul. That is, these are testimonies of poverty. If you want to preach like that to Donald Trump, why should he listen to you? I'm talking to Babylonians here. Why will he listen to you? The man said, he would say that I don't have time for your game. I earn billions of dollars. You are getting what I'm saying? You go and talk to Bill Gates like that. That you give, you get. The man said, get what again? I'm already the richest man in this world. What am I trying to do now? I am richer than all of you Christians. Name one Christian that's as rich as me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why I don't enjoy those. Give now and you get tomorrow. No, it's not good. It's not good. Listen to me. There's a lifestyle that a man, a woman steps into and makes you a lucky person. You get what I'm saying? Lucky. Your life is just a lucky life. A friend of mine was telling me the other day testimony about this crash that happened that killed a lot of people. He said a lot of his representatives, his subordinates, survived that crash. Why? Because he insisted they left Abuja the day before. They finished their course. They wanted to relax. They said, no, everybody, get back to work now. So he forced all those guys to enter the plane on Friday and leave Abuja for Port Harcourt. The first flight on Saturday crashed. He said if he hadn't, a lot of them would have been on that crash. The same man told me a story once. He wanted to travel. There's nothing in him. He just said, no, Abeka, I don't feel drive. My spirit not just moved today. Guess what? Everybody that took that drive were mowed down by these crazy thieves that are coming from Chad. You know, just start shooting everybody. He told me the story. He was moving from Maiduguri to somewhere else. Listen, I told you, all those who keep on hearing, God told me, I'm not impressed. Listen, when your life is in a particular situation, there's a way things move. You know it's not, there's something controlling it beyond you. Do you understand my point? And that's what we are teaching men, because amongst the things you have to understand is how to, let me put it like this, you sow your seeds. Seeds is not just money or this or that. That is choices you make. Let me give you an example. Why did Joshua and Caleb, why did they survive when everybody else in their generation died? They had been trained to believe God. That is all. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, to them, the word of God was strong. The word of God was powerful. That spirit, that thing in them kept them alive. Listen, it kept them alive. That even David, with all the love that God had for David, he did not have the testimony of Caleb. When David was going to battle and they were threatening to kill him, how old was he? Caleb, by the age of 80, took on giants. You get my point? That is, David didn't come near Caleb's testimony. It's very important. Let me tell you something. Because one thing God does not seem to enjoy at all is if he says something and somebody else says something else and you doubt what he says. Ken Hagin's story taught me strongly in that area. He said he had a vision. You know, because man was a prophet. He used to have a lot of visions, you know, clear visions. He said the Lord told him that anytime you do this, the demons will always leave. You put your hand across somebody who is ill, and you feel fire jump from one hand to the other. Know there is a demon spirit right there. That man has a spirit. Cast it out and he will become well. He had this man that have what? He had a stiff spine. Some joint disorders, or he had tuberculosis. Something was wrong with his spine. As soon as he laid hand on the man like that, he felt fire jump from one hand to the other. So he knew there was a spirit in there. So he cast out the spirit and told the man, see whether you can bend over now. The man tried. He wasn't healed. He tried that a number of times. He said, then suddenly he looked to his right. And then there, the Lord appeared to him again. He said, this time, unlike all the other times, his eyes were red, as if fire was leaping out of the eyes. He just said, I said it will go. He said, that was all he said. Then he turned and said, but it did not. He said, the Lord said, I said it will go. He said, he looked and said, but you saw now, it didn't go. He said, I said it will go. And after that he looked, he was gone. He said the guy was confused. He's like, what is going on here? Then he got the point. He called the man back, put his hand across him again. The same thing happened and said, now in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to go out. Come out. And told the man, now you are healed. Bend down and touch your toes. The man bent down and his back was healed. He said before he was doubting, he was saying, check whether it has gone now. That was the problem. I tell you all the time, when we get up and speak, all right, and it appears like we are blind. I remember many years ago, that was 1995 precisely. I just started work. I had a number of colleagues, and this was shortly after, I finished service end of 93. Most of 94, I didn't work. I was just listening to the word of God and feeding on the scriptures, feeding very, really, really fat. And also, I was really fat and robust when I stepped in from residency. One of my colleagues said once, he said, you sounded then like you just stepped out of a Bible school. Do you understand? So once I was sharing with another person, another of our colleagues. And after sharing some things about life, future, God and all that, the girl tried to persuade me that, you see, life is not that good. And now I understand. Then I didn't. I couldn't understand then why she couldn't see what I was seeing. Do you understand my point? But this is why I remember her very well, was that by the time I finished explaining everything, she looked at me and said, I am sorry for you. And right there and then, I became sorry for her. Now listen to me. Bishop Oyedepo said, no prophecy ever leaves you the same. So that lifting you up, or it is bringing you down. I have read from the scriptures. Go and read 2 Kings. I think chapter 5 or chapter 7 now. He said that when the prophet prophesied, and one man looked and said that even God were to rip open all the doors and windows in heaven, can it happen? And the prophet was grieved. And he said, you will see it, but eating it, no. You will not eat a bit of it. Are you getting the point? This is how God is. Every time men rise up and challenge his words directly, they don't survive. You look at the children of Israel, all of them. Say, you will die. That one, I will grant you. You will die. Say, that one, I will grant you. But as for your children, I will give them their own opportunity to step into the land. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, for God, it's not a joke. I'm trying to bring out a point. There, as a young man, in your season of young manhood, applies to women also, there are things you start doing, spiritual seeds you start sowing in your manner of walking life that starts bringing out luck. You understand my point? Luck for you in another 20 years. I tell people, listen, look, I'm not enticed by the testimony of, I sowed the seed yesterday, the seed gave birth. Next week, the things that don't last are the ones that spring up quickly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All those ones don't last. What I mean is that you gave 59 and you got 5,000. That is the only 5,000 you will get. You will not get another one. If that's really what happened. Because I know that's not really what happens. Alright? But the ones that really last, listen, they take time to come out. Do you get what I'm going to say? They take time to come out. In fact, that helps me to go back into the main thing. I don't know why I was digressing like that. I'm just trying to introduce what I want to say today. So from that point, I will go into the main thoughts for today. All right? Now, what I was saying is that what we are doing, therefore, with these words is to generate. No, you know, I'm happy I did some science so I can understand some of these things. What we are doing is we are inducing, you know, current, you know, by these motions, you understand what I'm saying? Something is being induced, and when that thing is coming out like an aura from your being, that's what begins to attract good or repel evil. Do you follow my point? I said one of the most important things with God in life is how you take the word of God. All right? Love for God, that's how it is described. Love for God is not, God, I love you so much, I want to kiss you. No. Look, you understand my point? God doesn't need your hugs, doesn't need your kisses. That one is for your wife and your boyfriend. You understand what I'm trying to say? No, it's true. You don't hug God. He doesn't need it. If you come near, you will fry. Ordinary NEPA installation will fry you. How much more God? Don't even dare him. You are getting what I'm trying to say? What he calls love, all right, is obedience. If a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God by keeping these words that I'm commanding you today. That's all God understands as love. You understand my point? That is, in the face of adversity, the man who can hold on to the word of God and refuse to be afraid. Say, God said that one, he will never die because of adversity. You get my point? And listen, don't ever forget these things. The things that God reward openly, they are done when? In secret. I've told you, you can read all the books you like about men. I read them also. But the real stories are hard to tell because the man himself may not understand it. The kingdom of God is said is like a man who sows the seed, and after it has brought forth the harvest, the Bible says he himself does not know how. That is why there is nowhere else to get the truth from but the word of God. You have to get the scriptures. That is the one that's really a revelation of the truth about life. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So what we are doing is to speak the word of God so that men, women, we imbibe these truths, believe them, and inside you it is settled. It begins to work out something that the day bursts forth. I preached a message last Wednesday in church. I called it the power of patience. We have to understand that thing. That what God does, the Bible says that when the clouds are full, they bring forth rain. You understand my point? That is, what God is doing right now is filling your cloud. Then one day, suddenly, the cloud will say, this thing is too full, and you bust open. Then they will say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is one thing we have to understand about God. He starts things very, very, very small. In fact, maybe we'll start today's message by reading this portion of the scriptures. It's very, very important. Quickly open to Matthew chapter 13. I think that would be a good place to start. I want to title my message today, David still kills Goliath. That is, in life, you will still find that David is still going after Goliath, and the Goliaths have no chance of surviving the Davids. Do you get what I'm saying? And we'll understand that in detail some more as we go on today. Matthew chapter 13, from verse 31, Jesus said something. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds that a man will ever hope to sow in that field," now he was saying. "But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Listen to this. What God was saying, Jesus was saying here, is a divine principle, a principle by which God does everything on earth that endures. Listen to that. Everything God wants to do on the earth, he starts it small. He never starts it big. Do you understand my point? Maybe this will help business people, because actually a lot of the things I've been saying, preaching in the last few weeks, talking about the light of the world, is actually geared towards that. It's like part two of spiritual economics, which we dealt with long ago. I want to just bring out some points, because what God wants in life, God's divine order, God's purpose, is for his people to really, actually be on top and not beneath. Look, all through the scriptures, he has never changed his mind about it. Listen to me. Material things, physical things, are a reflection of spiritual things. The problems we have had is when people don't get their priorities straight. Do you understand my point? There was no... Look, Israel in bondage was always a sign that they were in spiritual bondage. They were in sin. Israel hungry was always a sign that they were in sin. In fact, when there was famine at the point in time, David went to the Lord and said, "On whose account has this famine come?" That for us, there is no natural occurrence. There are no acts of God. You know what I'm going to say? That is, there's nothing like that tsunami happened because there was an earthquake in the center of the Atlantic or Pacific or the Indian Ocean. That does not happen. There's no chance matter as far as the people of God are concerned. There are no chance occurrences. You are getting what I'm saying? Therefore, spiritual prosperity, if the church of God is prospering spiritually, to always reflect physically eventually. Now, what I'm saying is a fact. What people have misunderstood is to look at John the Baptist and say the man was not rich. Now, I'm not preaching wealth. Everybody must be rich. Drive a big car. That's not my gospel. But you must understand that there are people that Paul explained have to fill in certain things that are lacking in the sufferings of Christ. That was what Paul said. Do you understand my point? That is, there will be prophets. There will be priests. Priests in Israel were not allowed to own property when they are sharing land. But their functions, if the priestly function was being properly done, the whole of the tribes of Israel will experience the prosperity. Do you understand my point? That is, if Israel as a nation is prospering, then know this, and spiritually now, then know for sure that physically they will prosper. In battle, you couldn't defeat them. Are you getting my point? Listen, when we see things physically, that should bring our minds to certain things that are not in place or are in place, spiritually speaking, and bring out the point. So we're saying that God's order, really, is that his church, his people, should always be ahead. One of the things, mistakes we have made, is to think that he's talking about a denomination. You understand my point? Let's assume that this is a church now, and we have branches everywhere. So we'll come out to and say that, you see, Kingdom World is ahead of everybody else. That's not God's order. God said you are supposed to speak the word so as to prepare those who hear you for the work of the ministry. That is, this is not just ministry work, that those who are preaching. The ministry work is when Nigeria has a problem in their, my good example again, judicial system. And you raise a chief justice that doesn't have to be a chief justice, just a legal, an advisor to the president, or one man from somewhere, and the man solves it. God said, hey, that's what I mean by church advancing. Not that Kingdom World is now the largest church in the world. Rubbish. You understand my point? If you like, gather 50 million people every Sunday morning. You can be gathering 50 million people who have come for entertainment. You know that? Go and read Ezekiel 33. He said, they come to you like people come. You know, he said, they come and say, let us go and hear the new word from the mouth of that prophet. He said, you have become to them like a man who sings the beautiful song and plays skillfully on an instrument. That is, they come to church on Sunday for entertainment. Don't let anybody fool you. The volume of people you gather in your church is not what we are talking about. We are talking about the impact that the words that you speak, they are having in the lives of the people. What makes ministry effective is how it is creating ministries in non, you know, preaching word ministry areas. How it is making the academicians becoming more, you know, more productive. How is making the industry so productive and so fertile that the Chinese are afraid? Not that Chinese is exporting there, and then you come and say, they are killing all our industries. No, this morning, I picked some toothbrushes, that a pack of them that my wife bought for my son. And I began to remember the toothbrush industry in Nigeria, how they all closed up. And I remember the adverts they had of how they all closed, how Nigeria is bad. And then I noticed something. I said, while they were closing up the plastic industry, did you notice that nobody could export plastics to Nigeria? It was sell. You know that. We just bought some of these chairs you are seeing now. They just bought them, some more today. And anytime I go to the shops, I look and say, who wants to import plastics into Nigeria? I don't know what happened to them. I'm just trying to bring out the point. Nigeria wire and cable, you all know. Cable is still the best that you can use. You know, we know when you want to wire your own house, you don't buy all those funny Asian cables, you buy the Nigerian made ones. And I keep asking myself that, was it not in the same country where people were closing down that these guys were increasing? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is what shows that the world is really working, is for you to always increase. Do you get my point? Not to be giving excuses like everywhere is so hot. That is why we are not productive. Meanwhile, Jesus had explained it to us that if your root was deep enough, if the sun is up, you will produce more fruit. You understand the point I'm making here? That's what God wants. But what I want to explain from what we have read now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, is an order, the principle that God uses all the time. Everything he's going to do, he starts it small. I told you I'm talking about economics, I'm talking about industry, I'm talking about productivity. Many people tell you a lot of times that I have not been able to do this because I don't have capital. I'm not a business person, but I know from the scriptures that doesn't make sense. No, that is a fact. Because once the idea is there, God, look, capital will follow it. But the problem with a lot of people is that capital has to be really, really capital. They've forgotten that 5,000 may be capital, 200 also may be capital. One brother in our church, a pastor, preached a message last week, Sunday. Yes, almost a week today. And I was very impressed by that message. When I preached on Wednesday, I referred to it again, and I blessed him again. Because he said that one day he sacked him from his job. He's an engineer by training, an electronic engineer. And of course, everybody complained that the country is bad, no job, no job. He said he started what he called e-recharge. That was before MTN and Co. started this e-recharge. But anytime you called him, he sent you a recharge card. You paid him the next day. 12 midnight, you need a card. Just flash him. You're like, he'll send you a recharge card. And he was earning about 100,000 naira every month because he was sacked. He said, one day, I was very happy with that meeting for certain reasons. So somebody said, one day, because an engineer, why are you coming to join us in this, our big company, one of these big telecom companies? He said, I told the guy asking him, he said, number one, you that work there now, your CV, I took it to them. Don't forget that. Your application was the one that talked to this guy, now that they now admitted you in. He said, if I wanted the job, don't you think I would have taken it before you? He said, forget that I'm going for something bigger. Do you understand my point? Of course, the passion of his heart, that was really interested me, that made me happy. That he thinks about the number of people that are on their payroll, the small business he's doing here and some people. Every month that they pay. So when he thinks about it, even if he doesn't get any money, he nods like, I'm a big man. You understand my point? Bigness is not that I drive a big car. Remember what we said on that radio broadcast, Kingsley? I said that you can drive the biggest car. If you have never affected my life, it doesn't concern me. Do you understand my point? The story of Junior. He said, Junior, who's the richest man in the world? He said, Daddy.
Why? Because Bill Gates has never bought him anything. Anytime he needs something, he goes to daddy. So as far as he's concerned, this is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The El Shaddai. Like Jesse Duplantis will say, the El Shaddad. And this is El Shaddad. That is, to be a big man is to influence the lives of people, to affect people positively. That's what we are talking about. And that's what God is trying to empower people for. I'm one person that believe very solidly that the major reason, that physically speaking, that Nigeria will get to any place in this life is because of SAP. For those who are too young to know SAP, SLAIO, Structural Adjustment Program. Yes. I know you know the meaning, but did you live in the days of SAP? You know what I mean? As an adult who could understand things. When you see men patching tires, when I look at those tires now, I said, is it possible on earth to patch those tires? You know, I look back. Organizers were very rich because men couldn't buy new tires. I think about it. You know, when I look, and people tell me that country is bad, I look at it. I say, well, in my own experience, oh, me, I live in the days of SAP. If I want to think, I remember one day, the car my wife used to drive then. One day she drove home and said, the next time this tire goes flat, I'm going to leave the car there. And I drove out next day and bought 4 new tires. And I remember that my father couldn't dare it. In the days of SAP, he couldn't. For his level in civil service, he should have been able to do it. And before the days of SAP, he had built his houses. He never had less than two cars in our house. You understand? But the days of SAP, change the tire of those cars now. Change your mail, see. You're getting my point. But why do I say SAP was a blessing? Since the days of SAP till now, the kingdom of God suffered violence. And the Nigerians take it by force. Since the days of SAP. Before, I remember those days, my mother would tell me stories. Those days, they would just sit down at home and place their orders and to be shipped to them right to their houses. Whether it's clothes, they used to send them catalogs. They just stick on. And I look at it, that the only stories they had to tell about those days was what they could eat. Then you could eat all kinds of chocolates, all kinds of Kellogg's cornflakes. You know, then you didn't have to worry about food. You could just buy your cars on credit. You know, they'll be telling you a story. After all, that house, we built it on salary care. You know, be telling you a story. Then I look back now. I say, no wonder God brought SAP. What to him that is as ease in Zion? They're all at ease. Go to work at 8 in the morning, come back at 3:30 and sit down and place your orders from UAC. Place your orders from Leventis. Place all your orders and they bring you to your house. Whether you achieve anything or not doesn't matter. I remember the day strike started in Nigeria. They never heard of strike before. My mother wasn't going to work. What's the issue? So that they are on strike. They were on strike and the salary was going on, you know, easy. When they stop paying those who are on strike, people complain. I said, look, that is godliness. That is godliness. Why should you be on strike? Somebody's still paying salary. Why will you negotiate? You are not losing anything. You'll be the same to your employer. Listen to me. All this one that this administration is doing is God ordained. I was listening to the staff of UNTH where I work, the staff association. They were gathering and trying to talk about the pension scheme. And the man passed a comment. He said that, well, those days, it wasn't like that, too. They did not have to save up for their pension, but that then you worked and your employer took care of your pension. I said, obviously, you have not been reading history or, you know, history, economic history in the rest of the world. You'll have known that it had to get to Nigeria also. What am I saying? People thought that you just work small. After 20 years, 25, 30 years, you retire. Then your employer will keep on paying from whatever money is making after then. Of course, most of the time it's government. But now government says, everybody, you sow into your future. What do you mean? This government is reneging on all its responsibilities. Doesn't want to do anything for itself. I said, listen, this is the principle of life. Listen, the reason why Nigeria, those days of SAP, you know, those of us who didn't grow up in Lagos, where we grew up, there was plenty of land around. Every school teacher then had a farm plot after when SAP began. Because, man, you had to do afternoon lessons began. Teachers used to go home and go and sleep at 2 o'clock before. They realized, we can't sleep with that one. You can't sleep again. No? When you close work at 2, you start another one at 3. You are getting my point? My guys then, when we finished service and got to Lagos, guys were taking 3 jobs. That was one I refused to do. I said, God, if you can't feed me, I'm working hard enough as it is. I ain't taking 3 jobs, man. The Lord can't bless me. I shall remain unblessed. I'm bringing out a point here. That the days of Saul, men became productive. And listen, it has not departed from them till now. All the men who have been grumbling are the ones not going forward. A friend of mine made a statement, and I've quoted it several times. He said, before SAP and after SAP, there were more millionaires in Nigeria after SAP. You understand what I'm saying? That is, more people had money after SAP than did before SAP. Of course, the typical civil servant who was content in his protection, in his security, forgetting that security only lies with God, he was the one that suffered the most. The men who couldn't depend on a short salary before were the ones that enjoyed SAP. Are you getting my point? Now, it's important we understand these principles. Very, 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 very important. So what we are saying, anytime God wants to do something, he starts it small. Don't ever forget that. They always start small. And that's why I'm talking about David and Goliath again. Because the principle of God is that we start with the David, then he will kill the Goliath. Do you understand my point? And he'll become established as king. When God wanted to populate the earth, if it is you and I, you know what we would like to do? We would like to go to a cloning laboratory and clone many, many copies of Adam and release it into the earth. But God didn't do that. It wasn't because he didn't have the resources. But that is not proper order. Things don't work that will last like that. So what did he do? He made Adam and made Eve and commanded them and said, be fruitful. That's God's order. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. It's a job. It's an assignment. I was saying something earlier that the kind of aura that comes out of you is determined to a large extent by the kind of thought patterns, the things that you believe. You understand my point? That is, if you look, what makes the difference between an electrical appliance that can detect whether you are carrying metal and one that cannot even smell it at all is the way they wire it. Do you understand what I'm going to say? The kind of circuits inside. So your thought patterns, your mindset, the kind of ideas you have in your mind dictates the kind of aura that you generate, whether good will come to you or go away from you. That's what dictates it. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So when men don't understand this principle, they go around grumbling all the time that I have nothing, I have no capital, there's nothing I have, this little, you give it, complain. And then when you tell them this thing can be done, they start telling you stories. Though these people are big, they won't let you do it. Maybe you have a construction company, they say, how can you beat where Julius Berger is? No, you can't. Forgetting that Julius Berger didn't start bidding for bridges across the lagoon, Third Mainland Bridge. That's not where they started from. Wherever they started from, they were making culverts in front of people's houses. I'm sure. I don't know their story, but I'm sure that's how these things start. It always starts like that. Do you get my point? But the problem with people is that they don't want to wait. They don't want to have an Adam and Eve created that will populate the earth and fill it. No, they want a clone laboratory. We just clone the human beings and pour them forth. God doesn't do like that. Remember what I said? The man that God... That was maybe prophetical. I'm telling you. Maybe prophetic to somebody. That the man that God will give an airline that will be the most successful private airline in Africa. All God is giving him today is money to buy 4 Okadas and crash helmets to give young boys to be doing Okada and returning for 500 naira a day. That's where it starts from. Don't think it starts when Richard Branson looks at him and shakes his hand and says, oh boy, it looks like I can make you rich. No, Branson won't talk to people like you. No, really. It's not because you are too small, but you know, such men, they can perceive your spirit. You are getting what I'm trying to say? So such men, they know when they see opportunists, they don't listen to them. You know, I keep on telling you, I am never impressed when somebody tells me that I went to meet this man to help me and he didn't answer me. I am never impressed. Like, don't mind, the man is very stingy. In my mind, you are very foolish. You think he was created to be helping you? You understand my point? If the man was going around allowing himself to be taken advantage of by every opportunity, he wouldn't have gotten to the place where you would get to him and be asking him for things. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. There's a principle I'm talking about here. That what God will do is to start something small and then bless it. There's a word of blessing starts. We said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So we're talking about the seed. The man starts, he buys 2 Okadas. He says, hey, who of you ride Okada here? 2 boys appear. He said, this is my Okada. My own is serious business. I ride Okada scientifically. So all of you will be trained. They'll be looking at him like, give us, say, no, 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 no. This is highway code, highway code. You will do tests on highway code after studying for 1 week. He gives you two crash helmets and says, these Okadas are different. It starts like a joke. So don't mind that Okadas, your own things, now so. You understand what I'm saying? He puts a little bit of difference, everything he's doing. You know that his own Okadas, they have two crash helmets, one for the rider and one for the passenger. And his Okada boys, they know the traffic rules. It's like a joke. Okada champion, they will call him, you know, you go to church, they will call him Okada champion. How now? No, not so lively. By the end of the year, he has 15, so he buys 3 buses. Higher purchase, but they are his buses. The following year, he goes to Poji and says, why don't you guys give me like 10 experts? How money do you have? Can I quickly calculate? By the way, he had made a friend with a bank manager who has seen that this guy is good. So they lend him money. That's it. The bank pays for the buses. They deliver it to him. Look, there's a spirit. It is not a matter of whether climate is good or bad. There is a spirit that is forcing him to prosper. 10 years down the line, Okada champion, how now? They finally start his own airline, Champions Airline. You don't know where the word came from. It's from the Okada champion. They were calling him in church 10 years ago. But he started as what? An Okada champion. Little guy. But God says, if he never bought those Okadas, now so he go, they grumble like everybody else. Country is bad. I'm bringing out the point that the Davids, they still face the Goliaths and they still kill them. The real things that God wants to do, listen to me. You see, there's something I've been trying to say all this while, which let me see whether I can get it out today. Because the main problem in life is what motivates people. Don't forget this. Life is very, 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 very spiritual. Listen to me. This might sound funny. But the proof that life is spiritual is that men can enter the occult and make money. That will tell you that there is a spiritual force that they are tapping into. It's a wrong angle, but it works. It has its own repercussions, but it shows you that there's something there. Do you understand the point I'm making here? And listen, God has done the proper one. The difference between the proper and the evil one is always the same thing. Jesus was there. Satan came and said, jump. You get all the glory, sharp, sharp. He said, bow and worship me, and I'll give you all of this instantly. Jesus said, no, a man must pass through the cross to get to the glory. You understand my point? All this shortcut of bowing to wrong forces is the reason why your glory will never last. That eventually, after everything, you'll be cast down. You say, I saw Satan cast down from heaven. That's the way it will always end. But the one that goes through the cross, you understand my point? Difficult times, challenges, trials. Do you know what the Bible calls oppositions of adversaries? And then he comes out on top. He comes out tough. It's not just a physical thing. I've realized this thing. These are spiritual things. It's built without you being conscious of that fact. You know, some of us, when we want muscles, we go to the gym, we'll be sweating. I notice all the boys who carry cement, they don't think about whether the muscle is built. They just carry their cement. But when you see that guy's sinews, man, you go bow, say, man, something did. You understand what I'm trying to say? No, the man doesn't try, but he has developed the strength. It's all the ones who have what I call cosmetic muscles. You know what I mean? Cosmetic. It's built just for the looks. That the ones that will be weighing, be measuring the biceps in the morning and checking what. No. The man who is doing the muscle work for life's sake, you know, so you don't get that kind of time. But the muscles respond anyway. Do you get my point? That's why, look, all these take 2 steps to do this. That's why I'm not impressed by them. The real steps are taken without you being conscious or the fact that you are taking steps. In the same manner, when you are building spiritual energy, you're not even trying to build it. You're just doing the things that brings forth spiritual energy. You get my point? So this is those tough time things in life that the man goes through. You know, he's there. The people have no, you know, it's an aura in him. He just starts pulling things in his direction. The man has generated those spiritual forces by just doing the right things. So Satan says, bow. He says, I'm not going to bow. That is not the proper way. There is a proper way. I told you that I heard the story, and I believe it very much, of men within this our geographical location who the way they make money is to submit their wives to some principalities and powers and evil spirits in high places who call themselves human beings. When I heard that, I understood that this is the way life is. Look, listen, that the devil has placed those guys in places to disseminate some kinds of evil spirits into the air. Now, I'm telling you what I'm saying. It's very, very true. You know, because if you read Rick Joyner, when he described even the principle behind entertainment, you will know that all of you have to get up if it is entertainment that is in your spirit and start doing the work of God. Otherwise, evil spirits will sit down there and be feeding your children with nonsense. Are you getting my point? God doesn't just cast people away. He always replaces them. Until the children of Israel were ready to take over the promised land, God did not deal with the Amalekites, did not deal with the Amorites, he didn't deal with any one of those people. He left them there. Until the children of Israel were ready, they now say, see, I will drive them out so that I can bring you in. You get my point? You can complain all you want. God is not going to close Hollywood down. Do you understand my point? They can, look, you know, the rating can change. That what used to be X-rated will now be PG. And you say, God, where are you? God say, I'm here. I've never changed position. It's you I'm worried about. Do you understand my point? That these men have to be ready to take kingdoms. That's what we are saying. But we say, how does it start? It must start small. Okay, I was explaining something about those spiritual forces and all that. You know, I said I wanted to explain some points. Let me just quickly say it. I said that the spiritual forces you have decides how things come to you or they leave you. You understand? Now, when we're talking about people not being afraid, one of the reasons why people become afraid, really, is the reason why they started in the first place. Do you understand my point? Let me explain what I'm saying. Very, very simple, not a complicated, it's not a scientific, it's just a small thing. If I left my house and it starts raining heavily, you know whether I will turn back or not depends on why I left. If I left to go and pick my son in school, the rain can fall all at once, I'm going. Because the boy is small, I can't leave him in school. The rain can beat, I will find a way and get to where I'm going. That is a fact. I will get there. But if I said that, Kingsley and I were supposed to go and eat pepper soup, see this rain now. I'll just turn back and phone and say, Kingsley, how far now? I said, Pastor, the rain, no. He said, me too, I noticed also. Today your side, today here. Now, go shift town now. Say, yes. You know why? It was pepper soup that started it. So it's not an issue. No, this is a fact. You understand the point? In the same way, there's a spiritual thing I'm trying to use that to explain. The thing that motivates a man in life really determines whether he will go far or he will not. You know, we talked about the stirring of the spirit the other time, that God stirring up your spirit to begin to do things. Now, there are many things that can stir your spirit to do things. One of them, very common, is envy and jealousy. Everybody is doing it. All my friends have started this business. They're all driving cars. You know, my good example is how business centers proliferated, internet cafes, you know the way they proliferated. Because making, but you know now, they virtually all closed down or slowed down to a halt. You know, I remember there was one example I gave here one day. Everybody was laughing afterwards. When I said cyber cafe, then suddenly cyber cafe. That's how the speed went down. So that in Enugu right now, about the only place I know that you can comfortably and predictably use the internet is Avery Hub on campus. So you go there, you meet everybody from professors to secondary school boys. It's not a problem to get a seat. But there were many in town before. Why did they all close? What motivated them was different. Quick cash, quick cash, quick cash. This thing makes money. You know, if you just pay for a bandwidth like this, you do the internet. They told all the stories. International call, international call. Now, we can make international calls from the comfort of our homes for very, very, very low prices. Therefore, we don't get up to go to the cyber cafes to go and make international calls. Therefore, revenue dropped. Men who were motivated purely by greed, they pulled out. But those who wanted to plan something, they kept on waxing greater. Now, this is the way it works. Eventually, I told you, wealth, that's how God does it too, is a reward. It's not skillful labor. It's a reward. A man who does something that's not making plenty of money, you know, remember, in fact, let me use this example that I used before. I think I'll just continue using that example. That's the one I said earlier about Mary Kay Ash. I said something last week, which till now I've not yet confirmed. I'm not sure whether it's true or it's just a misquotation of somebody. Now, the woman was very wealthy. So what I quoted last time was $3 billion that they said she had. It was not even the value of her company. Do you know, after I observed the way they ran that company, I said, how did somebody like this make so much money from that company, you would think? It was not possible.
Then I began to remember, oh, no, it's not so. Like the story I told that was producing $100,000 a month. She was already eating and was full. Her children were grown. She was an established middle-aged woman before that wealth began to come into her life. You understand what the point I'm making here? That it was possible for her to become so wealthy, but not from the thing that you can see. Don't forget what I said before. There are people who will open schools, ordinary primary school or secondary school. That is, when you look at the school, they are just managing to break even. It's a big school. There are a lot of students, but the teachers are well paid. So all the tuition and everything they put together at the end of the year, you put it together. If that man sells that school and invests the money in the stock market or puts in a savings account, he probably earn more money. But he won't do that. Do you know why? Because there is something that stirred up his spirit to do it. It wasn't money. It was not greed. But God looks at it and says, see this man, watch it. I will give him the largest poultry in West Africa. And the reason why the chicken won't die is because the children are going to school in his school. That's the only reason. These are spiritual things. So bird flu, we flew over everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And it will be remarkable that for the size of the poultry he has, the bird flu did not flew down to him. You understand my English there? But what is keeping him is not the... You will get there and see veterinarians. They are there. Oh, the guy buys good feeds. It's true. But remember one thing you told me once, Kingsley. Maybe you won't remember. You said that you were meditating and thinking that, okay, why should a man lock if God is protecting him? And then the scripture came to your mind, except the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. That is, they still had watchmen. Doesn't mean the Lord was not guarding the city. Do you get the point? So, you see, the man has veterinarians, but it is not because of them that there is health. But except the Lord gives the chicken health, the veterinarians are skilled in vain. Don't ever forget what I said. God always requires an excuse to bless. I don't mean that the power, your faith in Jesus Christ is not enough. No, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying faith. The Bible says until it is physically manifested, which James calls perfection by works, then the faith is dead. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, God says, I know you have faith, but that faith must be manifested in the physical realm for me to see it as real. He said, then I put your faith and your works together, they become my excuse to bless you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, the school is running very smoothly. He's sustaining the school with a passion and with his prayers. Of course, those two go together. Prayer that is not initiated by passion, they don't have much weight. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer. That word fervent means heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much. That is why it's not the biggest man of God that you need. When you need somebody to join hands with you, you need a man or a woman who loves you and is touched by the feeling of your infirmities and believes in the same God. Then that joining is more powerful than all the men of God put together. You are getting the point I'm making here. So the man is sustaining it with prayer and passion. So you think it keeps going. And God says, because of this thing that you have done, therefore, I will bless you. You are following my point? So let me get back to what I was saying. So what stirs somebody up to do something, listen, counts to a large extent. I mean, it accounts for a lot of his staying power. That God will say, look, should we endue this man with grace or not? Don't ever forget that. Look, these are horses that God ride on. It is not as if those things themselves are the issue. No. They are the course that the Lord will sit on to ride into Jerusalem. You are getting what I'm going to say here? That is maybe the passion of his heart. God said, okay, let us ride that one into Jerusalem. You are getting what I'm saying? So, the man begins to do something. And God looks at it that what is stirring this man's spirit is not jealousy. It's not envy. It's not everybody is doing it. It's not everybody is making money. It's a desire to make an impact in his generation. Do you get my point? So the man is skilled in a particular area. He has a passion in a particular area. And despite the fact that everybody says this doesn't make money, Jesus said, the zeal of thy house has consumed me.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, the zeal to have that thing done is pushing the man on. His spirit is stirred by the deposit of the spirit of God when he was conceived by God. That's what is stirring his spirit, not that everybody is doing it. So all the cyber cafes started because they wanted money. They all closed like that. I told you, things that spring up quickly, they also die quickly. Now so, you are getting my point? But let me get back to my message. Let me not forget. What am I talking about? The fact that David, they still slaughter Goliaths. Don't ever forget that. So the man starts with the stain of his spirit, whichever level he can start. Somebody called me the other day. We talked for some time. And I like the discussion we had. Because, like I told him, that a lot of times I'm asked questions, I use my own experience, you understand, to reply. Don't forget, Kingsley, I made you a promise. I was still, that's how to find a wife. You know, all those guys who are interested, I will announce ahead of time before. And ladies will have to say yes or no, all of them put together. That is not how, you know, is no, yes is yes. You know what I'm saying? There's no special way of saying yes or no more than the answer is yes, the answer is no. I mean that how to decide whether, you know, we'll talk about it one day. I'm not done Odunze, but just that the things that the man's hands have handled concerning the word of life, the same I deliver unto you. You understand that? So anyway, the guy and I, we talked, and he was telling me something about ministry work that he's doing and all that, and I said, okay. Well, he said that he felt like he's supposed to do something similar, maybe not a copy of what I do, but as if we had the same kind of direction in life. So it was good for me to tell him my story. But one of the things I told him, I said, listen, you have a calling in an area. You don't wait for it to be big. Don't forget what I used to do. I told the story before. No, like an egg would say, they opened a door, a crack, I shoved my foot into it. Who we teach? That he always volunteered. Now, for me also, it was the same thing. Everywhere he gave me opportunity to preach, I preached. Before he did not give me opportunity, I preached. And then anywhere we started gathered together, I spoke. The thing was inside me. I always poured it out. When nobody would listen, I would preach to the breath of the air. They couldn't complain. I would take a stroll and start talking. No, that's a fact. And when I got married, the Lord was good. I mean, that was my one-man congregation, a one-woman congregation. Even before we got married, anytime we see, now like, come, I want to share something with you. No, she still has some letters I wrote, 21, 22-page letters. First half of the first page is, how you doing now? Long time no see. There's something I want to share with you. And there's one book I wrote, it's not yet published. It was a letter to my wife. Life, a Product of Choices. It was a sermon I just wrote, sent to my wife. It's a whole book, I'm telling you. I'm not joking about that. I've written it. I can show you it here on my system. You understand? The one who finally said, this Kingdom World Ministries, what did I do? I just printed tracts. Then, but before we took a small break, because other activities took our efforts and our time and all that, we had printed about 50,000 copies. You've seen those tracts. You understand? Just kept printing and giving them out. The day I was glad in my heart was one day I was driving in front of my... No, I was waiting for my gates to open so I could drive in. And the man was walking past with a copy of A Prayer for Your Healing in his hands. So I called him and said, sir, where did you get that from? He said, I was walking on the road. Some people were doing evangelism. They gave it to me. I said, where? I didn't know anybody around that area. But I said, let me help you fold it properly. It's not well folded. He said, okay, do you want it? I said, no, I don't want it. I just want to help you fold it. I wrote it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I carried it from the press myself. So, I mean, that's the way it starts. I mean, I was just writing tracts. Do you get my point? I mean, like that, things start going from one step to another. And I'm happy for those of you who are here, you will be witnesses of where it will get to. Do you understand the point I'm making here? And listen, it's not only ministry. That's the point I'm coming to. It's also in pure water, from pure water to the next Coca-Cola International. Do you get what I'm saying? And don't forget, my message today is the fact that your David will slaughter Goliaths. You get my point? Coca-Cola cannot intimidate you. If you are going to make soft drinks, Coca-Cola would beg for your territory. Say, give us more market share now. You say, this one, you have had enough for hundreds of years. It's my turn now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, Julius Berger is there constructing. They are a good company. They build very well. They build very, very well. Don't start competing with Julius Berger. Make your own David. The day David will finally face Goliath, Goliath will not know that this David had chopped something.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
That this David had engulfed a matter that is beyond the Goliath. But he wouldn't know. What was David doing? Doing shepherd work when nobody was there. He was already defending sheep. Then one day God opens the door. That God opened his door for David. In your case, you will open the door one day and then the opportunity will come. Remember, David was not preparing for Goliath. He was just living a normal life. You know, I was reading this story the other day about this guy of Global Fleet. How he outbid, I think it was Zenith. Can you believe that one young man outbid Zenith for Nikon? Nikon Insurance. I think Nikon Insurance. Yes. Zenith wanted to buy it. They put down their bid. The guy put down his bid, which was more than double that of Zenith. But that government had no choice but to sell to him. Now he's the MD-CEO of one of the biggest insurance companies in Nigeria. He said, how did you do it? He said, well, I just valued the company. We thought it was worth this amount of money. And we decided to go for it. And we asked some banks to come together. They brought the money and we went ahead. And then David ate up the Goliath. That was the end of it. You are getting my point. What I'm preaching today, which I want to end with, I don't know what I think I've said, maybe I want to say, is for you to understand that what God is doing in your life is going to start small. But don't ever despise, like we say, the days of small beginnings. You have a dream of university, I know. God says, well, since good enough, I've given you a bachelor's in education. Very good. So, your own shall be WAEC lectures. Start from there. For those who find it hard to pass WAEC, but just ensure that even the Federal Ministry of Education will soon know that your center is one of the best centers. No cheating. And God knows how to broadcast your news abroad. You don't have to try. One of the mistakes you make in life is to go and try to tell people, see our record, we are the best. All those things are not necessary. I've seen people who do it. You know, we are the ones that do this. You talk. People are tired of hearing you talk about yourself. I like what the Wale Oke said once. He said, those that do things that really count, don't stop to count them. Just do things that count. One day God will announce you. And listen, the main problem I said earlier is that motivation. What is tearing up a lot of people's spirits is the desire to make money. Schools are open. So schools open. You get there? When my son started going to school, when I was hearing school fees, I told my wife that, there's no way I'm going to pay that amount in school fees. It's not because I can't afford it, but I think it's ridiculous. I want to send a child to go to school, go and play. You know, if, as a fact, that most of what this boy will learn, he will learn in this house. No, it's true. No, that's not a joke. Just that my wife's not been around for the last few weeks. Everything I can really know, as far as I'm concerned, his mother taught him. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not saying they don't teach it. For me, his school now play group. Go and learn songs, interact. You understand my point? That is it. No, it's a fact. It is a fact. I told my wife that you didn't drop out from working in UBA for me to start paying exorbitant fees to have a 2-year-old child play. What is his mother doing? That is why she doesn't wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning and come back at 10 p.m. You understand what I'm trying to say? No, it's true. No, it's true. I'm bringing up the point because people say times where everybody wants to make money overnight. Look, some of the prices were ridiculous. I just read it is not because you guys can't run this thing without charging this amount of money. It's because you feel like you must make a lot of money from this thing. I'm not cursing it, but most such things don't go far. Listen, we have enough examples in life to learn from. You've heard me tell stories and you have read it yourself about Henry Ford. That guy's story, we can't ever stop telling it. And it's not the only one. There are many people like that. They will tell you, we started doing this not because we're trying to look for money, but we realized that this thing must be done. It just must be done. By the end of the day, they had much more money than those who were doing it purely for money. Because wealth is what? A reward. That is what God does. When your heart is not stirred up by personal gain, by, you know, the quest for vain glory. There's one man, I won't mention his name. Everything he does, none of them, anything that's in vogue, he does it. I mentioned names, some of you might know him. It's not too, it's not this area anyways, but not too far from this area. If they say tomorrow we are starting private refineries, isn't there? But none of them that he has done has ever worked properly. Why? Because there's no passion for any of the things he's doing. He's not trying to affect anybody. He's just trying to look for more avenues to collect money. And that's why those things don't work. What I'm saying is this. That one that God wants to release into life through your hands, it will start small. The man who will bring Julius Berger to his proper place in God's plan, you know what I'm going to say, by defeating them, is today all he's doing is constructing culverts in front of people's houses. Then from there, he builds a house. From there, he builds an estate. From there, he builds a small bridge. Then one day, people realize that, why is Julius Berger charging us like this? This guy can do the same thing. Eh? Then they try him out. And that is the day David swallows up Goliath. You are getting my point. Let me just add this to it before I close. Whatever you do, no matter how little, do it very well. Did you hear what I said? Whatever it is you are doing, no matter how little it is, do it very well. One day I told somebody that when we were preaching for radio, that most of the time I preach to Christy alone, the person shouted, and you sound like you are preaching to a multitude. I said, okay, you haven't seen when I preach to nobody. The person, I can't remember who, and I said, I said, yes, most of those, you've heard, yes, most of them, Kingsley is the only audience. I said, what? I said, yes. In my heart, I'm seeing the whole world listening anyway. You get my point. I remember this place where we are now, this small place where we all are. I will drive 250 kilometers back in a hurry. I am aware that the total number of people that will be here that day, minus my wife and my brother, are not going to be up to three. That is, if you add my wife and my brother to it, a lot of times there are four. Please don't count Akinlu. It's not good. It was a minus, not a plus. Used to distract his mother. But you think next Saturday I'll say that after how many people am I? No, God is my witness. I say that boldly. I'm not lying about it. It has never crossed my mind that I would change my mind because it's not three people that are coming there. From three people coming there, do you know how many thousands don't miss our broadcast on Mondays now? Hardly a week passes by and another person won't discover Pastor Banky. You know what I mean? I just discover. Where is Yinka of Bottom Line? He's not around. Okay. The day Yinka's friend, what is his name now? That young man, what is Yinka's friend? Anyway, one of his friends came from, I think, Benue or Kogi that day. The guy was going back when Yinka said, please, I want to drop something for somebody. He said, one pastor in my church, Pastor Banky. The boy, young man shouted, what? The guy suspended his journey to come and meet Pastor Banky. Why? Because all the way from Benue or Kogi, they don't miss Mondays at 8:30. So to him, it was a privilege. And that day, he met my wife. He said, yes, he's going to go back home and tell them that not only did he meet Pastor Banky, he shook his wife also. So that woman he talks about, that all of you only hear on radio. She gave me Coke. I drank it. He said he wanted to take a drink that day so that it would be on record that he drank in my house. It wasn't... You are getting my point. You understand what I'm trying to say? The big thing that God wants to do in your life is to start small. Listen, it will start small. You know, one day one man was telling us a story about one man of God who started a church in Benin. And one day he came to him and said that he's going. He said, why? He's going to Lagos. Why are you leaving now? He said, what he saw. Not this vision, people. Vision without knowledge and understanding. It can kill a man. He said, what he saw, it was bigger than what he's seeing right now. You must say he looked at him. The guy wouldn't be persuaded. He shook his head that this guy is just about to walk away from destiny because it is small. He said, things that God show you, they are big and they are at the end, not at the beginning like this. So you are even lucky, or you know what I mean by lucky, when God doesn't tell you anything, you just do as occasion serves you. You get my point? You know, I told you that it's only a few times in life I have dreamt. Serious dreams. I have a few. You know, I never... Look, people dream that they married, they didn't marry. The first time I dreamt about my wife, it was a vivid dream. She was standing in front of me. Right there. That was the initiation into where we are today. Those who dream, oh, I'm not. It's good for them. No, I have friends that they blink twice. They see two visions. And they are not lying. They're telling the truth. But I'm privileged I don't see any of such things. I just do as occasion serves me. I saw a woman. I liked her. Can I talk to you? And we talk small. We gel. I go see you again. You know, it is those who saw vision that will be going around in circles like, the Lord, how do I break? How do I talk? That one, I didn't see any vision. I just saw a woman and I liked her. You understand what I'm saying? So it was easy for me to be free. And if she said no, well, go walk now on it, that is, it didn't work. Now go ahead, so I have not offended God. No, I've seen people told me that this sister doesn't want to agree, but God spoke to me. Is you're on your own. You're on your own. God was speaking to him. The lady heard the voice of another God and married somebody else. I'm telling you. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, it will start small. That great vision that God has given you, you will get there one day. Do you understand my point? You will most certainly get there. But God starts that as a small seed. What he's saying is, I have given you a small seed, plant it. Do you understand my point? I have given you a small idea, activate it. I have given you something small. Look, I have a great vision, but it will start small. Like my friend there who's going to very one day be challenging M&B and driving away Nymeth. I mean, it's a small vision of one or two preparations. That's the way it starts. That's the way it starts. But the vision is big. The vision is big. Very soon, the whole world. Let's end with that scripture again. It's very, very important we read it. It said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Are you seeing that? And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. So that every man from everywhere, from different countries, will come and nest in his branches. That's when you become an employer. That's when you start fixing salaries. Do you get my point? That's when people will now realize that, they say, you say you know Pastor Banky. Yes, Pastor Banky, if you talk anything Pastor Banky tells him to do, he's like Mary and Jesus Christ. He can't tell her no. So that's when I'll have to have too many phone lines to hide from people who want to take job from you and feel they should call me first. I've told you, please, I'm closing now, that I'm a connected man. You've heard me say that again and again. I'm too connected. How do I know? I know the men and the women of the future. Not those who are passing away. The kings of tomorrow, when I'm coming to their palaces, it's honor that Pastor Banky is coming. There is no boardroom. Then I want to enter. They will say there's a meeting. MD is busy. MD will sack you for stopping me. So how can you tell Pastor Banky to wait? Don't you know he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek? Oh, the Lord is good. All right, let us pray. The Lord is good. It's like...
Hallelujah.